Now, as we're in Killarney, I've taken a trip slightly off-piste, and I'm out here with a legend in these parts, a legend in many parts, Mr. Pat Falvey. He's an adventurer, he's an explorer, he's a businessman, he's an entrepreneur, he's a public speaker, and I'm actually here at his house. I've called out to Pat's house here in Beaufort in Killarney. Pat Falvey, you're very welcome to the programme.
Well, thanks a lot, Bobby, and welcome to my house. It's called Explorer's Mountain Lodge.
Okay.
And you see why in a minute there's lots of memorabilia from every part of the world. But the reason why I picked it here, it's on the base of Six of Ireland's highest mountain. And look, if you look out the back door there, I can actually walk 3 days to Waterville without ever coming off the mountain.
Wow.
And that's one of the reasons why I came here. But more than that, look, if you look out, the scenery here is fantastic. This is this place has an epicenter, like it has an energy. And it took me years to find it. And when I found it, I could feel the energy in the place. But it overlooks right from Dingle, Mount Brandon, all the ways back.
Yeah.
And over where you're staying at the moment in the Europe Hotel and the lake, Loch Lean, which is the Lake of Learning. It's where the Isles of Innisfallen have been written. And, you know, to me, I travel the world for 7 months every year for the last 30 years on expedition, you know, and I come back here and it's the tranquility, the
peaceful
peace.
Place.
Yeah.
And what a view, Pat. And again, I know this is radio, but just to describe to our listeners, we're looking out here, we're on the side of a mountain, looking out across the most beautiful greenery, the lake in the distance. I can see why this is your place of peace. Pat, I walking through the house when we came up here early this morning, I just saw some amazing memorabilia, your own memorabilia about your various conquests, your various adventures. Maybe we might go inside and you might just describe one or two of them.
Yeah, I will. And a lot of these are used as vision boards, by the way, like, you know, for the people I travel with are actually emulates. So I'll just go in here. Like, as you can see in this hall, you know, like you have everybody like that would have come to the house, like Mary McAleese, Martin, like the president, when she was president at the time. And then you'd have, like one of the ones I really love is this one up here, because I'm a really fan of David Attenborough. And this is where I was doing an icon series. And in England, I became one of the five icons there. And that was David Attenborough, Ronald Fiennes, Chris Bonington and Jim McNeil.
Right.
Like, you know, Jim is a polar person. He was here last week with me.
Chris Bonington, he's the Bovril man.
He's the Bovril man. You remember that. You're of the same age, like, you know. Do you drink your Bovril? Be big and strong.
I also see here, Pat, that somebody called you the accidental rebel. What's that about?
The accidental rebel, like, what happened is I come from a poor background. I lived in a council house. I was defined by my locality. If you come in here, and I suppose the easiest thing to do is to describe it. Why it was an accidental rebel. Look, this is me, the snotty nose. This is actually pictures from all around the house. But, you know, this was a snotty nose 12-year-old that had his first job. And this pram hair, that was my first business.
Wow.
And I went around 5,000 council houses, collected the clothes, brought them to the Coal Quay in Cork. My grandmother was a dealer. Not a drug dealer now, like a clothes dealer.
Dealer of
and
clothes.
And she actually sold the clothes. And believe it or not, it was my first collaboration.
Yeah.
And then what happened is, by the time I was 12, I had £750 in the bank in 1969, which is the price of a quarter of a house. So what happened is people told me when I was 15, then I left school to become a millionaire because my dad's business went wrong. And this is where the rebel came in. Everybody, my teachers and everyone told me like I was a dope. And to define myself, I just told them if you could use the analogy, in other words, F off, right, okay, I have a dream, I'm a dreamer. And so I just kept following my dreams. And lo and behold, by the time I was 20, I was a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
I couldn't read or write. And look, if you look here, this is a house we have in Cork. I had that built and paid for at 20 without being able to read or write.
Wow.
It's a big Georgian house, it's about 5,000 square feet. So what happened after that, like, people kept on telling me I couldn't do stuff because I was a dope or because I came from an area. So I tell people all the time, like, do not be defined by what people see you as.
Or where you come from.
Yeah, so then I became known as a rebel. And then, like, in actual fact, in my early days, I was quite ruthless. And a lot of people, you know, can be very ruthless. But I started hurting people I didn't mean to hurt. as you would do in business, like, you know, you'll always step on somebody. So as I came through, you know, I changed my name from the Rebel to being the Accidental Rebel. And then I mellowed after I tried to take my life through suicide after going broke, went out to find myself in the Himalayas. Like at that stage, believe it or not, I had no interest in capitalism. I decided I was going to become a dropped out hippie smoking pot in Dubar Square. And then my Buddhist monks, mentors, right, okay, they said, Pat, you have too much to offer, like, you know. Like, Buddhism isn't about that. And I said, but what about, like, if I'm a capitalist and, you know, making all this money and becoming unfair? And they said, no, do what you can do. But then they said, share it. So I came back from Kathmandu, believe it or not, as a social capitalist. And that meant to help others. So, like, 20% of everything I would earn would go to helping others.
Yeah.
So, and, you know...
What age were you when you found climbing, Pat?
29.
Okay.
And resilience is an innate aspect in all of us. We all have it, no matter who we are. Like, I know you went through your own tough times and your own tough times. And, like, you know, and here I have John alongside of me producing. And I know everybody has done it. So I was at the stage where most people are vulnerable. You know, 29 to 40. Like, it's like where you're kind of in transition. So I couldn't take the pressure and I tried to take my life through suicide. But what I didn't realise is I didn't talk. And it was because the banks came after my wife and came after me, losing self-esteem. But when I actually started talking, believe it or not, my family had my back.
Yeah.
And we all know they're the unsung heroes. The bank had my back. You know, my creditors had my back.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, one day, at that point in time, it was something I needed. A fella came into the office and said, would I go hill walking? Went hill walking, went up a mountain, and now 155 expeditions later, I'm here. And what you're doing is you're looking around. I've reenacted, like, if you know, all of the major explorers, you know, not in Ireland, but in the world.
Yeah.
Hilary and Tenzing, Marion Ervin, Scott and Amundsen, you know, and Johansson, the Hansen, like, all over the world. And what I have here in my home is a piece. Yeah.
I was going to ask you about how sort of climbing and adventure and exploration sort of saved you. What was it just the whole ambition there? You were able to channel your energy through that source as opposed to business that got you back on track?
Well, what happened is I went to nature and like I've had, you know, a success both in adventure, exploration and businesses all around the world. But what happened is I went out to nature and I went for a walk. And if we go outside, and this is what's happening with a lot of people, you have to breathe.
Yeah.
Like,
now, Pat, we're out here in the hall and I think this is your area dedicated to Everest. The first thing I see is an ice pick.
But like, if you look around, basically I use the hall, like I have 250,000 pictures and stuff like that. But in this little corner encapsulates a year of my life from being at base camp and trying to climb a mountain. This is actually, I became the first person in the world to climb Everest north and south.
This is from Tibet and
Nepal.
Okay.
And I was the first Irish person to lead an expedition and have a successful summit on the south side. But like this was Hilary and Tenzing on the south side, Mallory and Ervin on the north side. But this is an amazing place. If you look at here, there's a rock, right? That rock, and I have a fossil that I brought back, but it's not here at the moment, but I found that fossil right on top of the world. And to think of the fact, right, okay, that one time I'm now standing in a place, a Cork man, an Irishman, with a tricolour, right, with my team, and you have a rock that came from the bottom of the planet. The energy that you get from that is amazing. And all of that started, by the way, when I actually came down here and I climbed Carn Tool, and my head was frazzled. And I was so excited, it was my Everest then, that I said, on top of Carn Tool, yes, I'm on top of Carn Tool. And I turned to my friend and said, I'm going to climb Mount Everest. And then, you know, all these years later, not alone did I climb Mount Everest, but I went all around the world, became the first person in the world to climb Everest north and south, 7 summits twice. And what you're looking at here around the wall is the memories of that. And the only reason, like when you say accidental rebel, and you come from a background that I came from, I would not be able to relate today if I didn't have these up. Yeah. When I look at them, living with 32 tribes, studying 18 religions, illiterate till I was 30, now I have 7 books written, have 2 children's books written, I became a filmmaker. And like all around the walls here, which you're also looking at, is it must be remembered, I travel at the extreme of adventure and exploration. And over 32 people that I would have had friends and climbed at this level have died and given their life back, you know, yeah, for their dreams. And, you know, on top of Mount Everest, by the way, is, you know, I learned, you know, when I overtraded, and I often think about it, you know, and when I was there, like I was there twice and I was standing there and I realized that everybody has their own Everest.
Yeah.
And what it did is it opened up the opportunity for me to talk about Everest, not as a mountain, but because it gave me the accolade that I can travel all around the world and speak about, you know.
Having done that.
people say to me, freaking amazing, like that accidental rebel. What's next? And it's always about what's next. What's next for you now, Bobby? Like,
I was going to ask you that just to close out, because what is next for Pat Falvey after all you've done?
What's next for me is to become the best grandfather that I can be.
There you go. Because that's an admirable goal, I think.
Yeah.
And it's one that I think you should probably find is at peace here. It's the right thing to do. Because it's about enjoying your grandkids.
The question is, will I be able to succeed in doing that, right? Because, you know, because I travel a lot and do things like that, but I'm going to give it my best efforts. There's a great saying is that if I didn't, I would have ended up in the Robert Service End of Poem, right? At the end of life, and it would have been, like if I didn't try, you know, people say, when is the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When is the next best time? Now, right? But here's one from Robert Service, if I had kept going. And just remember this, because it's never too late to change, and it's always, you know, good to keep it in mind. If I had kept going the way I was going, the rootless bee that I had been in my early life, you know, I'm at peace now, I'm nearly in nirvana, but here goes. He has failed, he has failed, he has missed his chance. He's only done things by half. Now life's been a jolly good joke on him, and now it's time to laugh. Ha ha! He is one of the legions lost. He was never meant to win. He's a rolling stone and bred in the bone of the man. That didn't fit in.
There you go. Pat Falvey, what a pleasure.
Well, welcome to the Mountain Lodge, and hopefully we'll get you back again.
Thank you so much, Pat. And so it's so nice to see you here on your own turf. Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks a lot.